from the Message. Chapter 11, verse number 28. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a wonderful and an incredible blessing to all of us in this place. We thank you for community. We thank you for this community of grace, this family that is learning day by day how to live with one another and how to love one another and how to reflect the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this body. God, as we continue to reach outside of these walls and into our community, I pray that your love would explode in so many different and wonderful ways. And Father, continue to teach us what it means to be loved the way that we need to be loved and how to express love the way that it needs to be expressed. And God, thank you for being a God who has been interested and concerned that we as humans, once we press play or press go, we just tend to want to go and go and go and not take a break. God, I'm asking you to teach us what it means to take a real rest. So be with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have heard someone say, I wish that there were more hours in the day? This is a way to describe the intense busyness that has overcome so many of our lives. There is the work week at the job site, and work from the job that needs to be done at home. There is home stuff, you know, house projects and chores. There is family time. There are the kids' schedules that involve band concerts, sports games, after-school events, private lessons, youth group events, birthday parties, or just hanging out. More and more, the conversations I'm having with folks, the more we discover that we don't have a long time to talk because we have to go run an errand or do something for the family or go to an event. We don't have a long time to talk because just as soon as we start the conversation, we look at our cell phones and we're reminded that we have something else to do or somewhere else to be. We simply don't have time to talk. I have to take my daughter to a doctor's appointment, take the other daughter to her softball practice, take my son to the marching band practice, then go to the grocery store. They have grapes on sale and steaks on sale to get food for dinner, call my spouse to see when they will get home, go pick up one child from one practice, bring them home to start dinner, go back out to get the other child from the other practice, get back home to finish dinner that's burnt a little when I was going to get the other child, start serving dinner, making a call to a friend to see if they could bring home the other child because I forgot they were gone, out of breath, completely fried, wore out. It was a big run-on sentence, wasn't it? But it's like our lives. Be honest. Doesn't this sound like the typical all-American family right now? By the end of the day, we are completely wore out, tired, But we feel like at the end of the day, while there is no running around to do, I might be able to get something accomplished for myself. So that's when I might read a book or watch our favorite show that we had to DVR because we didn't have time to watch it live. There's a reason that many networks are pre-releasing the whole season of a particular show. They know that most viewers cannot watch the program live. They have to record them to watch them later. And this is the origin of what's called binge watching. That's watching every episode of a season in one sitting. We simply don't have time to sit around like families used to around the TV and watch your favorite show. I don't know how many families used to do that. Like for our family, we used to always get around, I forget which day of the night it was, but we used to watch Sha Na Na. How many of you remember that? Bowser, do 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 do. You know, we used to sit around, that was our show. That was the one show that our whole family watched every week together. Right now, we just can't do that. Our schedules are so scattered, and we don't have time to sit down together as a family and watch a show together. Why? Because we're so busy. So many of us have implemented calendars that show the various things going on. Now, many families in here, if you were to put your calendar and show us your calendar, it might look something like this. I mean, you got something every day. You got post-it notes on the side. You've got things you got added on. And that's the physical calendar. Then we've got our digital calendars. Then we've got our work calendars. We're busy. And so then what are the consequences of all of this busyness? Well, for one, we are overworked. We have become a workaholic society. And again, this in many ways is an American thing. When you go to a lot of other countries, they don't have a lot of the workaholic things that we have. They have built into their system rest and time off and vacation. You have to take vacation isn't optional. You are taking a vacation, but we have become so addicted to our work. Another consequence, man, we're just tired. We don't get enough sleep. Our faculties are affected. Again, at the end of the day, when we think that, well, this is our time to get some things done, what that does is that cuts into our sleep time. One of the things that athletes are finding out to achieve peak performance in their particular sports, there's been great research done on the benefit of going to bed and getting sleep. And so there are coaches at major universities that make their student athletes go to bed to get 8, 9 hours, 10 hours of sleep so that they will perform better on the football field or on the basketball court. Another consequence, we're unhealthy. We're unhealthy. We have high blood pressure. We have more headaches. We have gastrointestinal issues where we have heartburn and ulcers. We're stressed out and we're depressed. Another consequence is, man, we're angry. We're more angry than we've ever been. We lash out at our family members because of the high stress and the busy schedules. Well, why didn't you tell me you had that yesterday? Why are you telling me right now that you have to be here? Any parent ever been there? You find out 5 minutes before something is supposed to take place. They had all week to tell you that they had to be somewhere, but they wait 5 minutes before they have to be somewhere to tell you, hey, I need to be somewhere. And we get angry. We feel unaccomplished and incomplete. Isn't it interesting that after we do all this running around and we participate in all this busyness, after all that we do, we end up saying at the end of the day, oh, I still have so much to do. Or I haven't done enough. I wish I would have done more. And probably the most glaring consequence is that our spiritual lives are suffering. We don't have a lot of time for our faith community's activities. We spend very little time with God in our personal time because we're tired. We've run out of time. The last consequence is of paramount concern and the impetus of our next this sermon series that we're beginning today. Church, I want us to consider a long-lost practice. It is the practice, a practice that originated at creation. I'm speaking of Sabbath. Now, it is not my intention to argue the observance of the Sabbath day, that's the seventh day, or our Saturday as the day of worship. That is another discussion for another day. Some Christian groups have debated this issue, one arguing that we observe the fourth commandment, that's of the Ten Commandments, and that's to keep the Sabbath day holy, while others maintain that the first day of the week is the new Sabbath. Now, in my opinion, both arguments fail to speak about the purpose of Sabbath. In my opinion, both arguments simply fall short of what Sabbath was intended for from the beginning. And from the beginning, Sabbath was about rest. I know many who worship on Saturdays, they keep the Sabbath day holy, and more who worship on Sundays. And those days, for those worshipers that they will say, well, Sunday is the new Sabbath, is far from a day of rest. Right now, I know many of you are like on edge about what's going to take place after you leave church here. It's not about rest. It's about doing something else. It's about getting something else done. It's about going home and probably not mowing the lawn because we have no rain and our grass is as brown as me. But you're thinking about the roast in the oven, or you're thinking about, oh, I got to go do this or make this plans for Daddy's Day. I got to do all. It's far from rest. But we call it the Sabbath day. Think about it. Every Sunday, we anticipate getting out of worship to go and do stuff. And again, it's more often than not more work and more tasks. Now, how many on a weekly basis, after you leave Sunday worship, just go home and rest? Now, some of us might get a nap in, but we get a nap in so that we can do some more work. But how many just take, when is the last time on a Sunday worship day you just took the entire day off to just enjoy the day and rest or play and delight in the day? Again, it's not my goal to debate first day of the week or the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath day. What I will do is invite all of us to walk in rhythm with the Creator, our God, who, even though He is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-big and all these great things, He took 6 days to create this world that we see, but on the seventh day, He rested. And so in the Genesis account, chapter 2, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done." That the first chapter of Genesis, first chapter and the first few verses of chapter 2 of Genesis, many have identified that beginning, the beginning part of Genesis, as some sort of liturgical work. I mean, this was something written for worship. This was, it was almost like a song that the congregation of Israel would sing as they rehearsed and replayed creation. It was something that got them into the rhythm of who God was. And it was almost an answer to the question, like, what is up with this Sabbath day thing? Well, let's talk about creation. And when you rehearse creation, part of the creation story is that at the end of the 6 days, on the seventh day, God rested. It was different. It was separate. It was holy. And so as a part of God's family, we too consecrate or separate this seventh day and we make it holy. This feature in creation, Sabbath, becomes the root motivation for the ancient Jews to observe that day called Sabbath, which at its root, it's an empty word. It really doesn't have anything special affixed. It's just a word that in its basic sense, all it means is stop, quit, pause, cease, take a break, be still. And so in the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, the Lord says, Exodus chapter 20, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, it's interesting to note that the second time this commandment is given to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy, that there's a slightly different reason affixed to this Sabbath day. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, it says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male or female servants may rest as you do. Remember, get this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This text seems to suggest that the reason that the Sabbath was to be observed is because the Israelites, who had spent 400 years in slavery and hard work, they didn't take a break. They didn't get a day off. The Egyptians didn't say, you're going to work hard for me. You're going to work hard. But on the seventh day, take it easy. No. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they work. Because not taking a break, God says, remember the Sabbath day, because you were slaves. You worked, you work, you went, you go, you no break, no rest. And that might be good for batteries. That's not good for humans. We have not been created to just go and go and go and go and go. Now, I want us to consider Sabbath as a vehicle to recover our lives. Recovery is a word and a term that I often use with folks whom I'm speaking with or meeting with, and they feel burnt out, or they feel fed up, conflicted, tired, or consumed with situations, circumstances, or sin. I don't ask people if they want to get better. I ask them, do you want to recover your life? Now enter Jesus, who knew about burnout or the potential for burnout. You see, Jesus was a busy man. This is what is portrayed in all of the Gospels. Take, for instance, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and verse number 15, as Luke, the writer of the third Gospel, is portraying the ministry of Jesus. He writes, yet the news about him, speaking of Jesus, spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, or some translations, solitary places. He got alone. He got away from people, and he prayed. Retreat was a part of Jesus' life formula. He knew how to get away. Jesus didn't come to abolish the principle of Sabbath. He sought to help us understand what Sabbath was all about. In an interaction with some who fussed at Jesus over Sabbath, Jesus opined about the purpose of Sabbath. You see, some of his opponents had made Sabbath into something that it wasn't meant to be. They had made rule after rule, and it had become more work to keep the Sabbath than rest. But in response to those who fussed at him about Sabbath keeping, in one instance in Mark chapter 2, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Get this, as we begin this journey about Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, and Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Thus, who better to go to learn about Sabbath than Jesus? So are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? "Come to me," Jesus says. "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me," Jesus says, "and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Church, for the next several weeks, I invite you to consider Sabbath. Not as another item to put on your calendar, but as a road to freedom. A road to recover your life. As I look into this audience this morning, I see strain. I see weariness. I see anxiety. And I see exhaustion. This doesn't have to be for God's people. Now, I'm not dismissing that for some of us, busyness is a way of life that cannot be escaped. I'm mindful of my brother and sister, Justin and Julie, who provide around-the-clock care for their son who doesn't have kidney function. He's on dialysis. He has some issues, and I sometimes get tired as I just watch Justin and Joy run here, run to this appointment, go to this appointment, set up this machine, set up this apparatus, clean up this, do this, prepare this dressing for this machine. It's busy. I'm mindful of that, and I'm not dismissing that, Justin. But I would say to Justin and Joy, as well as everyone in this audience, that in the midst of the craziness and busyness of our lives, there is a Sabbath rest that awaits all of us. And we have to find time for Sabbath. We have to find time for Sabbath. In this Sabbath rest, I believe it is the place where we will find great delight, and that we will uncover the greatest truth that has ever been communicated to this planet. And that great truth is simply this, that God loves us. And so even in the busyness of our lives, We are called to take moments to simply stop, quit, chill out, rest, be still. I mean, that was the story of my retreat, you know, 6 years ago in Amish country. I had been going and going and going for so long, and I've been telling so many people how much God loves them and how much God cares for them. And it was such a blessing for me to be able to minister to people and to express God's deep love for them. And I did that with passion and with vigor and with fervor. I mean, that's my calling. That's what God called me to do. But the one thing that I hadn't done because I was so busy doing and working and moving and going and doing is I didn't enter any Sabbath for myself. And it was at that retreat that week where for the first time in years, church, that I heard God say, Dion, I love you. And so there's a great powerful truth in the psalmist's words, speaking God's words when he says, be still and know that I am God. You see, this is my fear for Christians, for God's people. My fear is that we may miss the life that God has intended for us to live and enjoy because we were too tired to see it. We are a tired culture. We just dismiss the role of sleep. We dismiss the role of vacation. We dismiss the role of retreat. We dismiss the role of Sabbath. Even if it means that we look for moments where we can fit in times for rest. You know, when our girls were babies, and they weren't sleeping good at night, and they would take naps during the day. How many parents here, when you had little infants, believe that was the best time to get housework done when the babies were sleeping? It's the worst time to do housework. You know what that's the best time for? To take a nap. When your babies nap, go take a nap. But we feel guilty. We get guilty when we rest. I don't know what culture has done to us to make us feel guilty about taking a break. I have a good friend in here, and we go out all the time. And I feel like the one thing that I'll always say when we go out all the time is, hey, dude, take a break. I'm not going to look at that person, Gene. Take a break. Hard worker, man. But it's okay to rest. Some would even say it's a commandment. Of all the things that God commands us to do, He commands us. Take a break. Stop. Rest. When we discover what that means for us as individuals, it may be that we'll understand what that means as a body. Because as a church, there are times that we are going to have to take a break and we're going to have to rest. But Dion, things need to get done. They'll get done. But we need to take a break. We need to rest. And we need to delight in God. And taking a rest sometimes may mean playing or eating, enjoying. I'm praying that you will journey with me over the next several weeks as we look at Sabbath. But for this morning or this right at this moment, I would invite you to hear the words of the psalmist, to be still. Even if it's just for the next 5 minutes, forget everything that you have to do after you leave here. Forget everything that you forgot to do yesterday. Just work with me. Suspend everything that you have to do the rest of this week. And for many of us, it's going to be a lot. For the next 5 minutes, just suspend that and just be still. Just be still. What I would encourage you this week, find a day. Find a day where you can take, just start small. Take 2 hours. 2 hours. And allow yourself to be blessed with that 2 hours of uninterrupted you time. Is that okay? How many people could benefit from some me time or some you time? Can I just do me? 2 hours. Just 2 hours. You do whatever you want to do in those 2 hours. But don't let anyone interrupt it. You can do that 2 hours with some, you and your, just two hours. Or if you're really wild and crazy, do 3 hours. But start to enjoy Sabbath. And this is what I guarantee. If you start to enjoy Sabbath and you start to increase that time, when it goes from 3 hours, it goes to 4 hours, it goes to 5 hours, it goes to an entire day, you will begin to recover your life. You'll start to feel better. You'll think better. And your work will be better. But right now, 5 minutes. Let's just be still. I don't want you to even stand up. We're going to sing this song together. It's called Still. I want you to sit. I want you to get comfortable right now. I want you to forget what you got to do in 5 minutes or the rest of the day. Forget what you did yesterday. Forget what you got to do this week. And let's just be still and know God is God. Let's sing this song. Let's worship. Let's rest. Let's be still.